The following lecture, titled Extended Sense of Belonging, More of the Good Life, was recorded Sunday, July the 12th, 1998, at the Northwest Activity Center in Detroit, Michigan. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. It is peace be unto you, or peace be upon you, as we say. We thank the God, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the creator of all of us, the creator of man and mankind, and all of the resources that we have to survive and progress. The Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth, we witness that he is God, and he cares about all of us, cares about all of his creation. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the seal of the prophets and the last of the prophets, and a mercy to all the worlds, as God says. In our book, the scripture called Quran, God says of him that he is a mercy to the worlds. Peace be upon Muhammad, the messenger servant of God, the seal of the prophets. We are expecting Congresswoman Carolyn Cheek Kilpatrick. Did have an opportunity to meet her on one occasion before, I'm sure. And we are expecting her. So when she arrives, we want her to greet the audience in her own way. There will be an interruption when she arrives, because she has another appointment. When she arrives, we will give way for her to greet the audience. Let me first explain the language of the topic. More of the good life, more of the good life. I believe in the world now, but in America it has been so for the life of the United States of America, for the whole duration of the life of this nation till now. I believe that the idea of a good life was the idea that the founding fathers of this nation, great nation, United States of America, had in mind. And I do believe that they were inspired by scripture, to come up with their idea of what the good life should be for citizens to live and have peace and security and prosperity. In the Quran, our holy book, God says, well, God asks the question, really. He says, who has forbidden the good things to my servants? He said, these good things are for them. He said, the good things are for them. And even more in the hereafter, or the expression is exclusively for them in the hereafter. Both revealed books, the Bible and the Quran, gives us the words of God warning us to live a good life and to avoid sin and corruption, or sin, so that we will keep that life. And both books tell us that God rewards obedience to him with paradise. With paradise. Or we say heaven. Heaven. And we know in paradise or in heaven there will be no criminals and no sinners. So whatever there is to enjoy, and we do expect the fulfillment of all our good desires, as God says, that heaven will be the fulfillment of all desires of the righteous. We do believe in that, and we know that won't be shared with sinners or criminals. So it will be exclusively for God's obedient servants, or the ones who feared the wrath of God, feared to do wrong, and strived always to do right. It'll be for them. Not that a person with sin, some sin, will be rejected or not admitted into paradise. We know that according to the teachings of the Quran and the Bible, as we understand it, our holy book says good deeds remove bad deeds. So it's not that you're not going to have some sin. If that was the case, then according to the Bible, no one would go to paradise. Because the Bible says there is none without sin. None without sin. Everyone has sinned. So we have to believe then that God is a merciful God, a loving God, a merciful God, and God rewards goodness. God rewards goodness. God's reward rewards sincerity. God rewards steadfastness. Those who don't give up, that is the belief, and a honorable life. Those who hold on to a belief and an honorable life, though they may stumble and fall, though they may err, though they may fall into wrongdoings and commit a wrongdoing, but as soon as they are aware of it, they become remorse. They want to seek forgiveness. They want to have it removed from them. These are the people who will inherit the paradise. And we must understand that God in the Quran tells us that the good things of this world, that's what God says, the good things of this world are for the believers, for those who believe in God. God has created this whole world, sky and earth, for those who believe in God. And I am determined not to turn over my share to bad people. Praise be to Allah. Continuing our address now, extended sense of belonging. As a young man, I shared with most of African-American people a sense of rejection, a sense of being rejected in this country. I didn't come up with a sense of belonging as a citizen of the United States of America. I didn't have that sense of belonging. And you didn't have it, not that back then. We didn't have that sense of belonging. We were constantly made aware that we weren't fully accepted. And that was a burden on us, and it really hurt our I would say natural ability. It hurt our natural ability to establish ourselves in society. And I believe even now, what is hurting our ability to establish ourselves in society is that damaged sense of belonging. And I have worked very, I would say, seriously to have those within the reach of my voice in this community know how to overcome that. And I don't know if you've understood everything that I've said to you, but much of it I'm going to be repeating today. You can't get the benefit of your own ability if you don't identify in what is happening or what is offered. And in America, what's offered every citizen is a share in this America. A share in this America. Not just a share of your neighborhood, but a share in this America. Somebody knows that, and somebody has gotten a big share in this America. You know that. I don't have to name any persons or any groups of persons. You know that somebody has big shares in this United States of America. They own land, they own property, they own wealth, they own technology, they own great services. They are owners of big, big shares in this country that we all know to be the greatest country on this earth in terms of this wealth and production. And whether you believe it or not, in terms of its freedom, its democracy. It's the greatest country we have on this earth. And all citizens are entitled to aspire, to desire, and then seek to get a share of this country. What's wrong with wanting to get more if you really are sincere and you're a believer, you're a God-fearing person, or you believe in decency? What's wrong with wanting to get more? And tell me what is right with putting a limit on how much you can get. Tell me what's right with that. That's like telling me, go to college, but put a limit on how far you succeed. Go to college, but don't go there to achieve the maximum that you can achieve. Put a limit on how much you're going to achieve in college. That would be ridiculous. It is no less ridiculous to tell somebody that they should put a limit on how much they want of the good world or good life that God has opened to all of us. God has opened this to all of us. We wouldn't have anything if God hadn't made it and made us with the abilities to benefit from it, or with the skills, knowledge and skills, or at least the potential to develop and benefit from it. We wouldn't have anything if God had designed this body and this brain the way He has designed it. We wouldn't have it. It's there, and we're here. God put it there, and God put us here. God designed the world, and God designed us. So whatever we achieve or accomplish, the credit goes first to God, who made it to happen. God made it to happen. So what's wrong with wanting a big share of it? Now, you know, people are people. And people have appetites that differ. We don't want to change that. We just want to get rid of an abnormal situation. And I think we have an abnormal situation as African Americans, or as, I would say, deprived people, not just African Americans, but all deprived people. They have an what I call an abnormal situation, because they've been deprived of generation after generation. They have come to accept that situation. At least they're not doing anything about changing it. They live with it day after day. Maybe they dislike it, but they don't have the encouragement to do something about it, to change it, make it go away, except for an isolated few in the society. And that very few are not enough to make a difference in the way we feel about ourselves and what we are willing to do about our conditions. Doesn't change. The few are too few. They are not seen. They are not visible. They are not affecting the life of the many. So the many still stay in the same situation. To get the benefit of something, you have to have a real relationship with it. You can't be cut off from it. If you believe that the home you live in is not available to you, that it's not there to accommodate you, you won't be accommodated in that home. But if you believe that this home is mine as it is my relative, or this person or that person, this is my home, once you accept that, once you believe that and accept that, this is my home, then now you're free to live in that home. That's what frees you, to live in that home. You accepting that that's your home. This is my home. That frees you to enjoy the home, to live in that home and enjoy the home. The United States is the home of every American citizen. It's our home. These United States, this America, this is home. And many of you are still failing, too many of you, still failing to accept that this is your home. The United States is your home. It's yours. You're entitled to it as much as anybody else living in it. You should have the freedom to enjoy it as much as anybody else living in this house, in this home we call the United States of America. You can't, we can't blame white man. We can't blame the white race for our situation anymore. We're free. We're mentally free, spiritually free, physically free. We're free to make choices of our own. We are free to pursue anything we want to pursue in this country, presidency of the United States, of a bank, developer of resources, whatever we want to pursue, we can do it. We're citizens. The law will protect our rights. What's holding us back? Belief that something is wrong with these rights. Something is wrong with this freedom. Something is wrong with this belief in democracy. Well, show me what's wrong, and let's make it right. But until you can find out what's wrong and show it to everybody else so everybody else understands it, let's enjoy the promise. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., may God give him paradise, he held the country responsible to fulfill the promise. Now, when he was working to make progress or to get us out of the situation we were in, there was something wrong. Plenty was wrong. But now we live in a changed world. I don't know if you're aware of how many African Americans remember Dr. King in comparison to whites who remember him favorably. In my travels, I'm meeting more whites that remember Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and speak of him reverently and identify with him in what he believed in him, in his high principles, and express a sense of indebtedness to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Whites are doing this. And should not they do that? He didn't only benefit blacks or African Americans, he benefited all citizens of this country. Because racism was a sickness and a poison that was holding all of us back and affecting all of us negatively. He, with the help of others before him and during his time, under his leadership, all of that was pushed away, all of that was condemned. Presidents came out boldly on television and addressed the nation, telling the nation what we had done wrong, what this country had done wrong, and that it couldn't continue, and brought out army, the National Reserves, the army, police, and everything was brought out to defend the stand that they had taken. That was serious business. So today we don't have that situation. It's not a situation like that anymore. There's no two laws in this country, one for blacks and one for whites. There's only one law now. Jim Crow is gone. It's one law for all citizens. And any time we can find that there's a law that discriminates against any of us, we can correct it, we can have it changed. This is the situation we have now. So I repeat, we are citizens with equal entitlement, equal rights to shares in this great country. And what holds us back from having progress that we should have as a people is our own unwillingness or our own condition. I don't think it even comes in the mind of the will. Our own condition won't allow us to think free, to think ownership. Ownership. You have, as a citizen of this country, you have ownership in this country. Who owns this country? The citizens of this country own this country. So you have ownership. But how much you own depends upon how much you're willing to want, to have an appetite for, and then act to get it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in this country when, at a time when this country was not accepting us fully. But he still believed that all of us as human beings had a right to this earth. So he taught his followers that the earth belongs to them. Now, the only thing was wrong with that, he was saying it belongs exclusively to them. That was the only thing wrong with it. So his son now tells you the same thing. The earth belongs to you, but not exclusively. Belongs to all other human beings too. God made the human beings to be the caretakers on this earth. He didn't make apes to do that. They don't have the ability. The elephants are very huge and wise creatures too. But he didn't give them the ability to be caretakers on this earth. He made human beings with the brain and with the resources necessary to qualify for caretaker. Caretaker. It's time for us to start worrying about who's going to take care of us and start worrying about whether we are taken care of as much as we should be taken care of or not. Yes. Stop thinking about somebody taking care of you. Start thinking about yourself. Am I taking care of enough? Can I take care of more? And if I can't, can I qualify to take care of more? And I repeat, you know, we differ in terms of our spirit, our appetites, our ability to get out and do things. We differ. Always going to be someone more energetic, someone more ready. But that doesn't mean you don't have a place in the work. If you can't do nothing but just greet that person every morning with a smile, then make sure that person is working good for us. It with a good spirit. Say, well, my job is going to be to keep this man in a good spirit. Since I can't do what he's doing, what I can do is keep him in a good spirit. Have a smile for him when you see him. Cheer him on when you see him working. Yes, there's something for everybody to do. And you can do more than that. And we know we can do more than that. We can do more than just cheer somebody on. We can do our part. We can find a place for ourselves. This is what the world is calling for now. The world of the future is calling for more of us to become more productive. And the only way you're going to become more productive, you're going to have to get that idea out of your head that this world is a white man's world. This world is a human man world. And let us qualify to be the best human man. And the best human man will have the biggest opportunity to benefit from what God has created. Oh yes. Because really, the right to have this position of caring and taking charge, taking care of things and taking charge, was given according to Scripture, and we base what we say upon Scripture because we are Muslims. And we are Christians. So we base what we say upon Scripture. And God created according to God's word in Scripture. God made all of this for the human man that he made when there was no other man on this earth. And that human man God made became the father, the ancestor of all of us. So, you know, maybe crooked courts and things and lawyers can cheat me out of my rights. But if I believe in God and I go back to the rights that God gave me, I haven't lost my rights. God gave all of this earth and the sky and everything as utility, as resources, according to my scripture, our scripture. He gave it all to my ancestors. So I have inheritance rights. I have rights to inherit from my ancestors. He's not around anymore, but I'm here, and I want everything that's coming to him. And God says to us in the Quran that he made what you see in the skies to respond to you and give benefit to you for yourself and society. And he made everything in the earth, the land and everything that grows out of it, and the minerals, the precious minerals that Congresswoman Kilpatrick mentioned that's in there so plentiful in Africa. God made it that way. God put all those things there. The petroleum, the oil and everything. The nutrients that feed out, that we get in our food that comes from the earth. All of that God did it. And it all was done for that one man. According to scripture, it all was done for that one man, so that that one man would have everything that he needed to accomplish the life that God created him for. But not just for him singularly. God never really treated him as one man. God always treated him as the father of the generations, or the father of the many. That's how God treated him. So really, God didn't provide that just for the one man in that sin. God provided that for the many that would come. So when God was saying to that one man, I have created all of this for you, God was really saying, what's more important to understand is that God was saying, I have created all of this for all of us. You, me. God did it for all of us. For all the descendants of that man. God did it for all of us. The Quran comes and gives us language that helps us to know what God wants. In the Quran, God says, seek with the means that he has made available to you. That means your own abilities and whatever you have can use as a tool or whatever the environment offers you to increase your ability or to increase your means for accomplishing something. God says, seek with the means that he has made possible for you. The future, or the English West says, the hereafter. The future, or the last stage, the last destination, the last goal. And that's heaven, that's paradise. Seek it with the means that I have made available to you. But don't forget your share of this world. That's God's language, not mine. That's what God says to us in the Quran. But don't forget your share of this world. Now, there are many quotes from the Bible that I could bring that I think satisfy that same meaning, that same concern. but I just bring you one. So he's come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. Yes. So don't be afraid to want more. Be afraid not to want more. A sense of belonging. We don't just belong to our neighborhood. We don't just belong to our family. And certainly we don't just belong to ourselves as individuals. Human being is a very special creation. Because of the intelligence we have, the power of reason, the ability to make free and independent choices, the ability to question things and change things and step out of a particular mode of life and choose even a different mode of life. No other creature has been given that kind of freedom and power but the human being, only the human being. We have that. So we are a very special creation. Because of this very special creation, we can manage so many things, produce so many things, create so many things. We also can mess up for ourselves and mess up for others. Because of this very special creation, power of reason, power to make choices, power to reject whatever we want to reject, and put our mind to new and different things. We have that freedom. That's a great freedom. The most significant freedom, the most important freedom, the most productive freedom we have is not the freedom of movement with this physical body. It's the freedom of movement with this powerful, resourceful mind. That's the freedom. That's more important. So we have to understand what God has given to us and what God has connected us with. God has connected us up with the world, with each other and with the world. The family is connected up with itself, the members. Together, make one family. But God made all people connected when He created one made it possible for us to multiply from that one into many. God connected all people up together. But we had to go our separate ways. The African, Africa, the European, Europe, the Asian, Asia, and the many other places where we have been, where we have migrated or gone, or been placed or developed native places, many. But that doesn't at all weaken the truth of the matter that we are all connected. Humanly, we are all connected. So the world has invited us to use it, to use its resources and benefit. And we have done that. Some less than others, but we have done that. Eating at the table of the world, the earth itself, and multiplying in numbers have made the individuals, persons, eating at that table so many, over 5 billion. And their work so large, megatons of food and other things. The space had been used up. Space has been occupied by people and things produced. And the world that was kind of naked separated us. There was nothing to connect us. But now so many people and so much has been produced that we are connected everywhere. We are connected with each other, and we are connected with our production, with our works. Sometimes, in most cases, it's our production that connects us when we are separated by oceans or by huge bodies of water or land. It's our production that connects us. Someone has something that we like to have on our table, and they live across the ocean. We learn they have it. Some of us find a way to get it to our table. We have something on our table that they don't have on their table. Somebody on their side learn about it, and they find a way to get it on their table. So here we are brought into an exchange. We're exchanging goods. We have a real connection. The world has been made very small now. One big living room. We are all connected. And God has brought about the situation that is compelling us to acknowledge that the human family is one family. The real race is not the black and the white. The real race is the human race. One race. This is what the realities are compelling us to accept. And that the God that made this earth didn't make it for one any more than he made it for the other. That's why our President of the United States, Bill Clinton, go way over across the ocean to the Far East in China. And he's speaking to the Chinese people. And what he says registers with us, that this man is a God-fearing man, not just an American president. This is a God-fearing man. And this man is carrying on his heart the burden of divine justice. And he wants to tell those people that they're entitled to freedom, more freedom. They're entitled to democracy. They're entitled to social justice and economic justice, and they're entitled to benefit from this whole world in a natural and normal relationship with other nations who are their members in the family of man. Yes, this is what he's saying. I'm not quoting him exactly, but I'm giving you the gist of what he's saying. And we are saying the same.
We're living in a time when the president of the greatest country on earth, the most powerful material country on this earth, technology, material, etc., most powerful country on this earth, its president goes and speaks to another land, and the newspaper quote him and describe him as a giver of a sermon, a preacher, a giver of a sermon. Yes. That tells us this is a day of religion. This is a day of God's rule. God's rule is all the time. But this is the day when the world is going to recognize God's rule. Sense of belonging. I belong to my parents, I belong to my brothers and sisters as a family, immediate family, but I also belong to my neighbors. I'm human. They're human. I and my neighbors, we share one identity. And that identity is more important than black and white. More important than African and European. That identity is human. The human is the whole person. The black is just a color on it. The human is the whole person. Africa is just a name on it. Yes. The human is the whole person. The way I've lived, the way I eat, the way I dress, the way I talk, my language. These are all decorations, small imprints on the whole person, the human person. I can take off the language and still live a whole human life. I can take off the culture and still live a whole human life. I won't be impaired if I'm happy in the culture that I take on. So that's what we need to do. We need to identify in the true identity. The real identity, the most important identity, is human. It means I'm not a dog. I'm not a horse. I'm not a tree. I'm something definite. And I'm supposed to be with humans and mate with humans. And survive with humans and prosper with humans. Plan the future and prosper with humans. Yes. We can't do it alone. We lose our identity if we try to be alone. We lose our human identity if we try to be alone. Our religion part, me, encourages us to appreciate group life. And even gives us an incentive to have more at the table when we eat tonight. God says the blessing is on the many. So if you got two for dinner, God ain't gonna give you much blessing. You got 20, now the blessings have increased. Blessing has increased 10 times. Because God says the blessing is on the many. So every time you add one, the blessing is increased. At the table. And you know how folks used to say from the South, yeah, my folks, all my people have big families. But God has always blessed us to have food on the table. Haven't you heard that, folks? Yeah, I have. That's what they say. So I think that's a living witness that the blessing is on the many. Yes. Now, I didn't say that for you to go and try to have 20 in your 18 children or 20 in your family. I didn't say that for that. What's more important now is for us to connect with each other. And whatever we have as an interest, let us see if we can connect up with each other and bring more people into this interest who share this interest, so that our interest will be bigger, our concern will be bigger, our interest will be bigger, our work will be bigger, and our production will be bigger, so that more people in the neighborhood will benefit. More people in the town will benefit. That's what we need to do. Don't be afraid to challenge the town. Say, this town can become more productive than it is. This town can hire more people than it's hiring. Don't be afraid to think that way. Somebody has to be free to think that way. This town can produce more. This town can serve its citizens better. Isn't that what we expect in the mayors that we put in the office? When we put them in the office, don't we expect them to have something to say that will lift our spirits? We don't want them to come in singing the same old dull song. We want them to, when we select them, we want them to have a new song. Yes. And we should expect no less of each other, of our own leaders. And let us ask God, let us pray to God to produce for us great leaders. What we mean by great? Human leaders, humane leaders, intelligent leaders, leaders with foresight. Leaders who will challenge the darkness in the road ahead and break through it and put a light there so we can see into the future. Yes, let's pray to God for leaders like that. Men and women, leaders for us. And then let us be on the look, but be on the watch like Jews in the synagogue, watching to see which child will show promise. Chris Child will show extraordinary ability. So let us be looking at the masses of our people and looking at those people who come forward from them to assume leadership. Let us be looking at them, looking for that one that shows promise, looking for that one that has extraordinary ability. And the principle of decency and honesty or integrity. And then let us organize people. We'll go out and organize people to vote for a certain candidate. It's more important to appeal to people and organize people to support good leadership, so that we will have more of a good life, have it better. This is what's necessary. And I go back to a sense of belonging, because without a full sense of belonging, you're not going to go very far. The world now is open to people who understand the whole family of man, and understand the rights of every group in that family, and accepts it, and believe that the earth belongs to all of us, and we all should be enjoying it. This is what the world is asking for now, and you belong to all of those people as a human person. When you're born, you're not born Chinese. You later become Chinese. You're born looking like a Chinese, but you can take that same child looking like a Chinese and let him be born on my block or down the hospital down the street from me and let him mix with us, and you know what it's going to turn out to be. Yeah, you go look. You go to the nursery and see the newborn there. No baby speaking Chinese. No baby speaking English. No baby speaking Arabic. They're all speaking the same language. They cry alike and sound alike. Then they learn from us the language. And then they become speakers of English and speakers of Chinese and speakers of Arabic or whatever. Right? So that tells us that God makes them first all alike. And as the Prophet Muhammad said, it's the circumstance that they're put in that makes them different. Yes. A sense of belonging. We have to come out and wake up in the morning and feel rich. Yes, not poor. Feel rich. Wake up in the morning, say, well, God made the land out there that my house is on for me. And he made me to share in the whole earth. And I don't have two rooms. I'm entitled to more. Now don't get a pistol and go get it. That's the way of the criminal. And God didn't make it for criminals. He made it for people who believe in justice, honesty, decency, fairness, kindness, charity, etc. These are the attributes, the descriptions of a human being that God opened this world to. Created it for that first, that human being, and opened it up for that human being. So you want more of it? Become more of that human being that God created you to be. Become more honest. Become more loving. Care about others, not just yourself. Most of our sickness we can get rid of most of our sickness if we just stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about somebody else. When your head is hurting, your arthritis killing you, your ulcer bothering you, hold your hand the way you pray, like that or like this. Oh, anyway, I don't know how you pray. Hold your hand or pray like you pray, and say, oh God, there must be a lot of people suffering this that I got. And to think about it sure hurts my heart. Please help all of us get out of this sickness. Get rid of these aches and pains and arthritis and whatever. Yeah, pray like that. If you start praying with the family in mind instead of just yourself, you'll find healing will come to you. Yes, healing will come to you. That's the same thing for your lack of ability to go out and make a productive life for yourself. If you just think about your own poverty or your own, being denied, you won't get the help from God and his angels and the good people and the good resources won't be supporting you. But if you will think not just for yourself, but for others, and want others, You know, we fast in the month of Ramadan. Some of us, we can eat as much food as we want every day. We got money, and we can't eat all the food we can buy. We can buy more food than we can eat. But when it comes to the month of Ramadan, that we are Muslims, we're supposed to fast. So we feel the hunger pains that the poor person feels, who can't get the food he wants. And God has given us that to make us more aware, to make us become aware, or become more aware, of suffering people. And God has given us the human nature to want to help somebody. So we should extend that help, extend the helping hand, extend it to other people. Because we all belong to one family, the human family. And we should start right at home and start practicing living as a decent person with each other, caring about each other, loving each other. We have connected up with the people who are Catholics. This community with me, we have connected up with the people who are Catholics, the folklore people. Their worldwide movement started during World War II over in Europe by a young lady, a girl. She first got the idea when she was a girl. Same person heads the movement today. I met her, so impressed with her, so impressed with those people. What are they doing now? The Catholic community is a big worldwide community. And here is a small group among them, not trying to live or demonstrate, I would say, the whole life that we see of a Christian in the Bible, but they're just taking what they believe to be the most important part of it. The principle of love and charity. Love that will make us want to help each other. They're taking that one principle of love that God revealed to them through Jesus, peace be upon him, Christ, peace be upon him. The principle of love. They're taking that principle and they're living it. They're not just preaching it, they're living it. They show love to each other. They greet each other with love. They express love for each other. Love opens up the heart for kindness. Love opens up the heart for charity. All goodness is possible when you have love. Yes. And we know God loves us. He says he loves us. And our prophet, peace be upon him, he said, you will not enter paradise until you have faith. And you will not have faith until you practice loving each other. That's what our prophet said. So these two books, these two scriptures are not in conflict with each other. They agree that love is a human property and a human need. And God wants us to accept it and express it among each other. If the prophet made love a condition for faith to manifest, or to be manifest. That should tell us love is very important. He told us we can't enter paradise without faith, and then told us we can't have faith. So what I should do? If I don't have love, right away I should know I don't have faith. If I don't have love, if I'm a Muslim, if I don't have love according to the words of the prophet, then I don't have the faith that will get me into paradise. So I should first look at what is missing in my life in terms of me expressing love, as I should express love as a creation of God, a human being. And then I should be working on that so that I express love for my brother, for my sister, for my neighbor, for my human member in the family of humanity. Express love. If you want physical fitness, you know you have to do something to get it. Now, we are saying what this religion wants of us. Religion wants us to express love. Just like physical fitness, you have to do something to get it. So why can't we look at these things in a sensible way? Look at these concerns in a sensible way and say, okay, I know I haven't been expressing enough love. I have to work at it. I'm going to have to work on this. I'm going to have to make an effort to wake up with a different mind. You know, the Muslim is supposed to wake up in the morning. The first thing the Muslim is... I have witnesses in my years. And I'm getting senior citizen benefits now. So I've been around a little while. Yes, the most miserable people are those who have that sickness, self-importance. So the call to wake up in the day is given in the dawn, the time of dawn, before sunrise. And the first thing we hear the caller say, God is greater. To let us know, you know, whoever it is, your habit, or your wife, or your boss on the job, or you. No, you're not the greater. God is the greater. That's what it's for, to awaken us, to know God is the greater. You're important, yes, but you're not the most important. God is the most important. That's what it's saying. So we would wake up in the morning, you don't have a muezzin waking you up in Fajr time. Wake yourself up. And first thing you say, God is the greater. God wants us to hear that first before we hear anything else. In the morning, when you wake up, say, God is the greater. And then what do? You think of making yourself presentable, don't you? That means get up and go to the washroom. So after you say God is greater, they say, oh, I have to get up and make myself presentable. Yes, sir. What's wrong with thinking like that? That's great thinking, man. Then remember what the prophet said, love for your brother what you love for yourself. And he said, you're not a believer until you can do that. You're not a believer until you can love for your brother what you love for yourself. Now, I see the logic for that. If I accept the scriptural logic that God made one man and all of us are members, descendants from him, that means all of us have equal titles, equal rights of inheritance. Right? So whatever I want for myself, I should want for my brother. Upon that logic. Upon that logic. See, it's not just sentimental. It's just. It's justice. So the folklore people, they have touched my heart. And they have caused me to look in the Quran and look in the life of Muhammad the Prophet. And it brought me to see that we have a serious problem. We're talking about knowledge and Arabic and all of this. Missing in faith because we are missing in love. Sense of belonging. So let us identify with each other and identify with us in a humanly way, in a healthy, humanly way. And recognize what God says is the reality. That we are all members in one body, the collective body of the human family on this earth. And that God has created everything for all of us to benefit from it and use and benefit from it. And to prosper, not just to survive, no, to have a good life. As the Bible says, and to have it more abundantly, to have more of it. And as I recorded to you from our scripture, the Quran, God says, who has forbidden these things of the world, these good things of the world? He said, no, they are for my devoted servants. And exclusively for them in the hereafter, or in the destiny, at the destination. Be exclusively for them, because the criminals will be cut out of it. Yes. So it'll be exclusively for us. God made rivers and lakes and filled the rivers and lakes with fish and made land to grow up trees and flowers and all kind of breath products to eat, as God says in the scriptures, both books, Quran and the Bible. He has done all that. And look out there and see all that abundant life, abundant growth, abundant resources, abundant food. You look out there and see all that. That's love. God made more than you can eat. That's love. God made the scenery pleasant to your eyes. That's love. And that's charity. Because it's more than enough. It's enough to share with others. So somehow we allow ourselves to be disconnected, and we have to connect up again so we can live a correct, healthy sense of belonging. We have to connect up again. So we know slavery separated us from Africa. We have to connect up again. And slavery separated us from other races, from other people, from other nations. We have to connect up again. Slavery did this. Slavery separated us from Africa, but not only from Africa. Slavery in its plantation style, slavery in the South, separated us also from other nationalities. And we're carrying the effects of that and don't know it, not conscious of it. We feel all uptight when we come in the masjid and see 20 white people. Get all uptight. What's happening? I should have picked another day to come here. And what we should be saying is, isn't it wonderful? Because it's for everybody. It's for everybody. The God is for everybody equally. And the religion is for everybody equally. And it's a tribute to us. We are honored when we come to our black house and we find 20 white people coming there to be with us. That's a great honor. That's an honor paid to us. Now, I'm using this color language, I'm using black and white for a reason. That's not my language. I'm using it for a reason. Because it's your language. I didn't want to say that, but I guess I have to. I'm using it because it's your language. You understand that language. So you come expecting the house to be full of black people, and you find 20 friends of ours from the folk choir, all white. And you kind of uneasy. Wonder what's going to happen today. No. Don't be intimidated by a human being. Nothing should intimidate you at all, except I would say something that's great in quality, or great in principle, great in virtues. And if you feel yourself, I would say, inferior, greatly inferior, well, you might be intimidated a little bit by that. But never let a human being presence intimidate you simply because that human being is of another color or another people. We all are human. And we should embrace people with respect for the circumstances that we all sharing. They come in here to share these circumstances with us, of the masjid, or of the congregation, then we have to treat them as guests with equal rights before God. Yes, if not before us, before God. With equal rights before God. Equal entitlement. Before God, they're human, so they're entitled to be here. The only thing would make them not qualified is that they start behaving in a way that would not show us their human side. Yeah. Practice love, be intelligent, know that you belong to each other. Firstly, to your family, but then to your friends or the people you associate with, the people that you share a commitment with. You share a commitment with the Muslims of this association. So that make you partners. You're partners in a big interest. Yes, you are. You're partners in a big interest. So you don't look at that person like you look at somebody that you have no relationship with at all or no partnership with at all. Be happy to see that person. Know that that person is a partner in a big interest with you. And you're obligated to greet them in the language that is given to you, the language of Islam. Say to them, As-salamu alaykum. Here we have a Christian congresswoman. Comes up, but she knows our greeting, so she greets us, As-salamu alaykum. And I heard no strain, I sensed no strain at all in her voice. It came out so freely, so beautifully, As-salamu alaykum. I said to myself, I wish brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so could greet each other like that. We're going to make it. There's a friend of mine, Marzouk, in Dallas, Texas. He got so many things about him I dislike, until if I thought about him, I'd never speak to him again. But he got some things I like that's so impressive, I can't think about the things I dislike. And he tells me when he sees me, he say, "Buddy man, we're going to win this race." And what is the race? The race is the race to overcome our setback. the setback of ignorance, the setback of racism, all of these negative things that God doesn't want in us or on us. That's the setback. He says, he said, Brother Man, we're going to win this race. The race is a human race for human excellence, for human peace, for human unity, for human works and cooperation and productivity. That's the race. And God says to us in the Quran, and go you all together as in a race for all that is good. Good. And the term good is not an abstract term. There are many words for good in the Quran. God uses a language that tells us that this is good in the broadest sense. It doesn't only mean for good behavior. Yes, we want that most of all. But it doesn't only mean for good behavior. Go as in a race for all that is good. For quality life. Quality life. Good families, healthy families, children that don't have to worry about going to college because there won't be any money around. We can solve all those problems. Those are human problems. Yes. Neighborhoods looking bad. Trash all over the streets. Homes in bad repair. That's a burden on the heart. But it ain't nothing that we can't change. We can change all of that. So when God says, go as in a race to all that is good, God is telling us, remember what he said about the town. He said, yes, there's a parable of the resurrection of a dead. It's like a town you go into, and the roofs all caved in. The property is in bad repair. And then a change is brought about. A renewal comes, a resurrection for that town. We should go as in a race for all that is good. Not only to bring our own immediate environment to life, but to bring the neighborhood to life. And we have men and women who can accept this challenge, and we are accepting it. And we're going to do something about it. We're not going to wait for all African Americans to get in good shape. We're going to take a few, and we're going to change circumstances that will make it easy for the majority of African Americans to get in good shape and peace. Assalamu alaikum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.